Welcome to episode 1984 of the Big Brother Breakdown Walls.
Not supposed to know about that.
Thought Police podcast. I came up
we don't with that, rehearse like, these.
No, we don't rehearse these. I came up with that seriously like 30 seconds ago.
Nice.
It's great. It's freaking great. This episode is brought to you by the soothing purr of Anna Banana, who is currently in my lap, purring away, and is the unofficial sponsor of the podcast.
Yep.
There you go. Boy, oh boy.
Ooh.
Sterlock, are either of us ready for this show?
I don't know, dude. This show's... might be...
I don't know. It's gonna be...
It's gonna be a long one,
but it's also gonna. It's gonna be a. There's so much here. There's good. There's bad. There's in between. Like,
that's crazy.
There's so. This is 1 week of stuff. We didn't take a break and. It's so many things have happened last week,
it's
man.
It's crazy, the amount of stuff in the show.
It's a lot. I guess I see no point in wasting any time. It's a show. We need to get into it. So let's do that with some
gaming news.
Hey, welcome to gaming news. I figured the welcome should be super happy because, you know, I mean, there's happy things, but it's got to offset some other stuff too.
Yep.
All right. So, I need to find my... Where is my gaming news file?
Gaming news.
Hello, gaming news. Aha. I need my file, guys. Trust me when I say that I cannot do this show.
No, there's like 10 things in the outline in total. Maybe not quite 10, but it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a heck of a lot. Hello, where is it? I can't find it. Hang on. I know how you fix this. I do a search in my own Dropbox. There it is. Good Lord. I finally found it, chat.
Yay!
Why do I do
chat,
that?
Whoa.
Why do I do that? Why do I do this?
It's not till tomorrow.
Okay. Gaming news. Here we go. We're finally ready to do this. I apologize for the delay. Okay. I'm sorry. I needed the file and I couldn't find it. And of course, something had to make the show even longer, right? Like, so now we have dead air.
Yay.
All right. So.
That's all right. Begin. Ray and I had 20 minutes of trying to fix captions in our first stream.
I was there for part of that. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. I do remember that. All right, so let's begin. Oh my God. Okay, let's begin. We can't not do this, so let's do it. Apple versus Epic, guys. It's happening right now.
Yep.
The trial is this week. It started on Monday. And
I wish we had background music for the show because I would totally start playing Phoenix Wright music.
Totally, though. I will say this: I've learned a lot about actual trials from listening to this trial, and I've learned a lot about big corporate trials too. Like, it's just interesting to me because my exposure to actual court trials is so limited. It's interesting to hear teams of lawyers going at it instead of just one versus another one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like these are teams of lawyers
yeah.
going after, and there have been. there's been stuff flung around on both sides. The funny thing is, I guess it's not funny, but the interesting thing is that because of the nature of these discussions that are happening in this trial, some news has come out as a result of these discussions, because there are just things that have been talked about that no one knew about before, because no one needed to know about them. But the trial is public, so now people know about them. For instance, we now know that apparently back in the 2018 or maybe late 2017 days when Fortnite was talking about crossplay, apparently Sony made them pay them for the right to make Fortnite crossplay on PS4.
Yeah, so they sent Sony like a threatening like email type thing. Like there were some leaked emails and they were like, it almost seemed like a mob threat kind of. It was weird. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if you saw that email, but it was.
I didn't see the email. Whoa. No, I didn't see the email. I did not see the email.
But they knew how much they had Sony by the balls, because it's like, well, this is, we have the best, like the biggest game in the world.
Yep. You know, like are you really going to refuse your fans that? Like, yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's even when it actually happened, I knew it was because Fortnite was the biggest thing in creation.
Yeah.
But I, you know, as much as that kind of sucks that the way it happened, I can't argue with the result, because now things like Mortal Kombat have crossplay, and you know, like it forced Sony to change their entire infrastructure.
Yeah.
So, you know, that the results were pretty much positive.
Diablo 4.
Yeah, Diablo 4, right? Seriously. But I guess the thing that I'll touch on here is that both sides definitely have cases. Yeah. And there have been good arguments on both sides of it. I can tell you that yesterday I was, so I, I'm not listen, I haven't listened to it today because it's still happening. It's happening right now. I haven't listened to it today, but yesterday Apple made a huge mistake. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know if you heard any of yesterday's trial.
I have not listened to it at all.
Oh, okay. So Apple brought in as a witness someone from Xbox, from the Microsoft gaming division. And their goal was to basically try to convince people that Xbox, the way Xbox handled like platform transactions and stuff was the exact same as mobile transactions. They tried a lot of things to get this point to go home. And the person that they brought in was like, no, that's not correct. I never said that. But like they showed a document that talked about how it was like an official document from Microsoft that talked about how our competition is every platform from Mac to Linux to iPhone to, you know, all that stuff. So that's what the document said. And they read that line of the document to try to make them say, yes, they're the same. Like, yes, of course, you already established
that. Wow, that's really
like,
bad.
Like, so mobile gaming is definitely part of Xbox's competition, right? That you value as competition in the console space, right? And they're like, no, it's not. And here's where it gets funny. Here's where it gets funny. Because I didn't read the document. I don't know how much of the documents are public. I know some of them are, but I don't know how many of them are. So I didn't, you know, like go looking for the document. But the during the cross examination, when Epic was questioning her, they brought up the same document and said, you're going to love this, Sterling. You're going to love it. They said, look at the next sentence after the one the Apple Council read to you. Guess what the next sentence was? And this is not word for word, but basically, I'm not quoting it here, but basically, it was like this. Our gaming platform, the Xbox, is the separate, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, she's like, yeah, that's, I never said no one ever said that iPhone was competition for Xbox on a non-gaming space. Like, yeah, it made no freaking sense.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah. Apple made a huge mistake.
Yeah. How could they have let that Slip, that seems like a novice mistake to make from, especially from a company like Apple.
Really had it. I feel like they thought they had it, because they, here's the thing, like the people involved in this case are very clearly not familiar with the way that games are handled in terms of transactions and like how that side of the business works.
Yep.
They're very clearly not familiar with it. They're learning as they go. You can just tell. The questions that they ask are on such a basic level that you can tell that every single one of them is learning as they go. And it's unfortunate.
Yikes.
this is who's deciding this trial, people.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. That's kind of one of the reasons that I think that it could still maybe go either way. But I'll kind of get to that in a second. So another thing that happened yesterday, a bunch of stuff happened yesterday. Epic scored another point, because Epic brought up the idea to the same person, actually, who worked on xCloud. She worked on xCloud as well as other things in the gaming division.
Nice.
So when they were cross-examining her, they brought up the very good point of, I don't know if you remember this, Sterlock, but do you remember what Apple wanted xCloud to do in order to get on Apple devices originally?
What did they? It was, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like ridiculous. It was like, no one would ever do that.
Yeah, they wanted them to take every single game that was going to be available on xCloud, and keep in mind that Game Pass is a rotating service, every single game, and make it its own individual download on the App Store.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah.
So Epic brought that into question. And it's like, this is how ridiculous Apple's policies can get sometimes.
Which is hilarious when you consider that Apple went after Blindfold Games for doing the exact same thing.
Ah.
Remember that? Remember when that happened and all the blind people made a huge stink about it? And
Yep.
It was like this big thing for like a month.
Yep. And the comparison that they used, that the Xbox person very cleverly used, was, imagine if Netflix did that. Imagine if Apple did that to Netflix.
Right? Exactly.
Like, Netflix is a subscription service, which is what xCloud wants to be. Well, it's what it is, but like, it's what we wanted to be on iPhone. But if Netflix was under the same policy that Apple wanted to put xCloud under, Netflix would have to take every individual TV show and movie and make it a separate application in the app.
Oh my god, that'd be so stupid. That'd be defeat the entire purpose of Netflix.
And it made Apple look really dumb. And the Apple lawyer at the Apple Council at the time tried to save face and was like, well, but like, you don't allow any game streaming platforms on your console, right? And they're like, no. She was honest. Like, currently they don't. Even xCloud right now is not a console thing. It's a PC and mobile thing.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be on consoles, but that wasn't the question.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've learned, is you have to be very, you only are answering the question you are asked in trials.
Yeah, you don't add any extra information.
So the current answer to that question is no. Currently, Xbox does not allow any game streaming on their platform. So there is not a Netflix of game streaming on that console right now.
Yeah.
So they tried to use that to save face. But I was just thinking, but dude, if only you knew, like, eventually you're going to be able to stream xCloud from your console as well.
Yep. there's a rumor, there's a strong rumor that xCloud's going to be on Switch.
I believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
Because they've already released, Xbox already released a couple of games on the Switch, didn't they? Like, under Xbox Studios? Like, The version of Minecraft on the Switch, I believe, is the Xbox one.
We have Minecraft. We have Minecraft Dungeons. We've got...
Oh, is Dungeons on the Switch?
Dungeons is on the Switch.
Wait, does it have narration on the Switch?
It does. It does. It's a terrible...
Oh, okay.
Terrible voice, but it's there.
Okay, at least it's there.
It's like that flex... I don't know if it's flex talk, but it's that level of terrible.
Oof.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, you can't... It's sucky because you can't erase this.
You can't adjust it at all.
And it's really, 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 really slow and really, really, really laggy.
I don't want to play
it. But it's there.
I mean, yeah, it's there. You can't.
Because it's just like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to test out because I don't have my Xbox handy. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll grab it and Starbucks, whatever.
That's cool.
And yeah, navigation's still
a problem.
Issue, but yeah.
But the game is neat for what it is. Absolutely,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now I bring up all that, and I'm going to get to the point of my part of this discussion. I have come to a bit of a realization through listening to the trial, the bits that I listened to so far, and learning what I've learned about the level of knowledge that the people involved have and all that stuff. I've kind of come to a realization, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it feels pretty strong to me. So here we go. Here we go. As cool as the things that I just talked about are, I do not realistically see Epic winning.
I don't either. It kind of makes Epic look... It's weird how back and forth we go on this, because like at first, stick it to Apple.
And then, look, Epic's done some crap too.
Yeah. And I don't know. Epic just looks like a bunch of tantrum throwing children and all of this.
Well, I think I don't.
But so does Apple.
I think Epic is handling the trial pretty well.
Yeah.
But the reason I think they're going to lose is because Apple has them on one very specific thing that I don't think the judge...
Yeah, they broke TOS.
Not even that. Not even the breaking of TOS. Because, you know, if the judge... Oh, you know, if the judge ruled in Epic's favor, then the breaking of TOS would be overturned. Who cares, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I think the issue is, what I think the real issue is especially when it comes to people that are judging this case and things like that, as simple as this. Every other platform has commissions.
Mm.
Xbox has commissions. 30%.
Yep.
PlayStation has 30% commission.
Yep.
Steam has 30% commission.
Yeah.
The only reason V-Bucks are cheaper on PC than they are on console and mobile is because Epic owns Fortnite.
Yep.
Epic has their own store, and they don't have to charge commissions on their own product.
Right.
That's why it's cheaper. So that's think that's really kind of it. Because
mm-hmm.
the problem becomes, if the judge were to rule in favor of Epic, then every platform holder would have to change their structure.
Yeah. You almost have to get rid of commissions entirely, and that's not going to happen.
I don't see it.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah, so I think on
and
that fact alone...
And it shouldn't. I don't think it should happen. I don't think commissions should be... Because, I mean, they have to make money somehow, right? Like, I mean, yeah, 30% is a lot, but, like, commissions are a necessary evil, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
nobody Fortnite likes them, but I mean, they do serve a purpose.
Yeah, like Fortnite, the whole free-to-play genre is based on commissions.
Yeah.
It exists because of commissions.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a thing. I think that's really the only fact that they really needed. Nevertheless, it's still going on. I'm not saying Epic has no chance, because there certainly are things that Apple's done that are nasty.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the fact that I will not deny, as powerful as the argument I just brought up is, I will not deny that if Epic brings up the whole thing about how Apple let Amazon Video has a deal with Apple where they don't pay commissions, like they really do. I'm not even kidding. Mm. You can go on Prime Video right now. Go buy a video, and you only get charged the price of the video. There's no commission charge. There's no extra charge.
They should bring that up, I feel like.
I feel like they should.
I hope they do.
So it could go either way, but I think even that argument, though, I think is still going to be overshot by the simple fact that every other platform holder has commissions.
Yep.
The same commission. Like, not even
exact.
Like different. The same one.
Yep. 30% is just the industry standard.
Yep. Yep. And I think that that wins it for Apple, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. We're going to keep talking about it as long as there's things to talk about. You know, I'll see, I'll try to find out if anything happened today when I wasn't listening to it, but yeah, it's definitely an ongoing thing. Okay. So now that that was over, don't worry. There's plenty more to go. Next thing, the Microsoft Ability Summit. That is something that happened this week. The first day was yesterday. It's happening also again today. It's just a 2-day summit where people from all around Microsoft come to give a summit, give panels and speeches about what they're doing for accessibility around Microsoft, all around Microsoft, every space, not just the gaming space, but the gaming space is included in this. So I watched part of yesterday's panels and stuff. And first of all, I got to say, I really like what they're doing. Microsoft as a company is really, really stepping up when it comes to accessibility. And I really, really fully believe that. Like it goes, I'm really like, I want to stress here that this goes beyond Xbox. Okay. Like as a whole.
Yeah. On a company-wide level.
Yeah. Yeah. They're creating jobs for the disabled. By literally creating programs to invite more disabled people to work for them, including like neurodivergent people and everything, like blind people, everything. They're creating jobs. They're making their systems accessible for the people that have those jobs. And their entire suite of products is being improved for accessibility. Microsoft Office is about to have, with the next big update, an accessibility checker, the button for which is going to be right next to the spell checker. So anyone that's writing a PowerPoint or even writing an email can do an accessibility check on the thing that they're making in Office, and it will let them know if the thing they just made is accessible, to meeting the Microsoft guidelines.
Nice.
And
that's good.
Yeah, so that alone is going to lead to a lot more accessible emails. And in fact, if you send a large email, according to Microsoft, the accessibility checker will automatically prompt you. If the email meets a certain size requirement, it'll automatically prompt you if your email isn't accessible and ask you to change it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it feeds into they already have, in fact, I don't even think we talked about this a lot, but they already did announce that they have the accessibility game checker now.
Oh.
As crazy as it is, you can Microsoft developer, people that are developing for Xbox or probably Windows as well, can send their games through a Microsoft accessibility checker for games, and it will make sure the game meets compliance, at the very least meets compliance.
Yeah.
And give them accessibility, tips on their game, making it better.
Cool.
So yeah, it's nuts. I learned about a couple other things they're doing. They are working to make a personal assistant device, one of them fancy Amazon devices, like an Alexa, or like a Siri kind of equivalent. They're working to make one of those for the deaf, hard of hearing community that can actually read sign language.
Oh, that's cool. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're working with deaf and hard of hearing individuals to make that happen. It's really cool what they're doing. So they have like a prototype assistant device that's built already. And they have people go out to meet up with deaf and hard of hearing people and say, like, they'll meet up with them and just say, okay, go ahead and sign towards this thing, like you're talking to a voice assistant, just sign whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
The deaf slash hard of hearing person will do the signing. And currently the device doesn't work like it's going to. Like currently the device doesn't interpret sign language. What they actually have right now is it's recording the sign commands. And a human that is not visible, like isn't in the same place, is actually seeing it on screen, and is speaking to the person that comes up with the device, and telling them what they said so they can and having them repeat it back like the assistant would,
Okay. So it's like, but, machine learning sign language almost, like,
yeah, machine learning sign language through like the interpretation of data and through what the actual people are using in when they sign to try to speak to these assistants.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting.
I'm going to let Izzy know about that. She may find that interesting.
Yeah, you can still watch the talk too. You can if you look up Microsoft Ability Summit, you can still watch the talk about that.
Nice.
So yeah, they're all recorded. So there you go.
Very cool.
They talked a lot about AI and how they're using AI for a lot of accessibility things. They, you know, a little bit about like seeing AI and how that's being used and things like that. And it's just really, really cool.
Yeah,
like,
seeing AI.
Yeah, I know. It's the incentives that Microsoft has for building accessible things is really up there right now. It's really high. Yeah. It's kind of like I feel about Microsoft how I felt about Apple when they first started really going for accessibility.
Yep.
I think they're on that level now.
Yeah.
And that's really awesome to see.
Took them a while, but yeah, they're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Ability Summit this year, the total number of speakers at the Ability Summit this year was 95.
Whoa.
95 speakers just talking about things, you know, at Microsoft related to accessibility. You know, it's like it wasn't just all like technology stuff. Some of it was like disability relations and stuff, like how you make sure as an employer that you understand disability and how, you know, dealing with it correctly and being fair and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Some of it was that stuff, but still the point is that this initiative is huge now. And it's just really awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So mad props, Microsoft. Oh, and also it was audio described.
So. Oh, wow.
Like every little presentation they showed was audio described.
Man.
So, and that's You know what the greatest part was though? There was no like choice of track. It just was. Like everyone got that audio description. It just was.
Hey. Cool.
And they did it. They did a unique thing that no other conference I've ever seen has ever done, where they had every presenter give themselves a live visual description.
Whoa.
Yeah. They requested that every presenter do it. And so everyone did. They said, hey, cool. I'm a white male with dark hair and I'm standing in front of my bookshelf right now.
That's really cool.
Wow. Yeah, it was a really neat approach, but everyone did it.
Neat.
Yeah. So Microsoft Ability Summit, I salute thee.
Definitely.
All right. And now the bad news.
Oof, yeah.
I'm not gonna say too much about this. But I want to bring it up because I don't think it's fair not to bring it up. It's enough of an event, at least for me, that I think it should be addressed. As I announced on Twitter, I am have separated myself from the Radically Kind Gamers team.
Yep.
It is not because I have lost radical kindness.
No.
The short version is essentially we have learned a lot of things. A lot of things have come to light. And the former leader of the Radically Kind Gamers team, who I guess technically is still the leader of the Radically Kind Gamers team, is not as radically kind as we would hope. Did not uphold the ideals of the team that she helped to co-create.
Nope.
I think is the best way to put that. And a lot of people are very hurt by this. A lot of people are very upset, and I'm one of them too. To be clear, I was not myself on the day this happened all day.
Yeah.
Because I actually thought that I had found the team, you know, based on the teams that currently exist. Like, obviously, we had plans to create a Breakdown Walls team once someone became partner that it was in the team. And we're still going to do that, by the way. But for the moment, I thought that I had found the team that I belonged in. And a lot of that, here's the greatest part, a lot of that was because of a mistake that I made. So I made a mistake maybe a month and a half ago, maybe a little more. I don't remember exactly, but I made a mistake. It was a pretty big mistake. I saw something happening. I saw the team leader was trying out a new service that was kind of like Discord. It's called Guilded. It's kind of like Discord. It's you know, it's chatting, it's voice chatting, it's that kind of, it's the same basic premise. And the impression that I got from the conversation that was happening at the time was that everyone on the team was just going to go there, and that was that. And I made the mistake of assuming that, and I got kind of angry. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, we don't even know if this thing is accessible, and you guys are just going to leave? And part of that comes from the general, this is hard to explain, but part of it comes from the general knowledge that blind people have that life is tough and sighted people tend to leave you behind.
Yep.
If you can't fit in the thing that they want to do.
Yep. Happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot, and I've experienced it. So I went off kind of assuming that. And at the time, I was wrong. The team leader had already asked about accessibility to Gilded staff and was actually going to introduce them to me to talk about accessibility.
Oh no.
So I was super wrong. But the point that I'm getting to here is it was the fact that I was wrong about this, about something that's super important to me, which is accessibility, that I wasn't going to be left behind. Even if the whole team went to this whole new Gilded thing, that I wasn't going to be left behind. And I was even going to be approached and worked with about accessibility to make sure that it was something that I could use. That's what made me feel at home there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The fact that I wasn't being left behind.
I mean, that's super cool.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I stressed, I said this on Twitter, and I said this privately to a couple people too, that, you know, the world isn't black and white.
Yeah.
The person that is involved in this certainly this is problematic. And certainly I think I made the right call in leaving the team along with many, many, many other people, many, many people left, almost the entire team.
I don't think there's really a team left at this point.
I believe there's 5 people left. But the world isn't black and white, and this person did do really good things before. Did really good things. And this was a really good thing. And this made me feel like I was at home with this team. So when this happened, yeah, I was hurt a lot by it. I was messed up by it, I was messed up for the day, and I still think about it, and I'm still a little shocked by all the things that happened and all everything that went down. You know, a lot of us have gotten together. And you know, we have a new Discord now. So a lot of people that left are still in touch.
That's good.
Yeah. So you know, we're still around, and we have already said we're very determined to still be the people that we were put on that team. You know, because we are those people. You know, like we're still going to do the things that are the reason chosen for that team.
And I said to you too, just like, this is definitely a case of the opposite, you know, like one bad apple does not spoil the bunch in this case, because, you know, you've made a lot of really awesome connections and those aren't going away.
Yeah. There really are some great people on that team. Great, amazing people.
You
on
got
that
Sir,
team.
You got Island Styles, you got JD, you got just a ton of people, really awesome people.
Yep, and we're all still in touch. It's all good.
That's awesome.
All right, so I think I'm going to leave that there, but that's a thing that happened. All right, so next thing. Actually, I didn't do this intentionally, but speaking of Discord.
Yeah, this was out of nowhere.
This really was out of nowhere. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, PlayStation has announced in an official blog post a partnership with Discord, and that you will see Discord social features available on PlayStation, I guess, by early next year. This is absolutely out of nowhere, because the last time we talked about Discord in a ownership context, it was the fact that Xbox was in talks with them. So
yep,
it feels like this is out of nowhere for Xbox too. Like, I wonder if Xbox is like, dang it.
Well, and then the update to that, which we didn't talk about, was that they went back and they kind of decided that, like, no, we're not gonna sell ourselves, like, we're not for sale.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't really talk about that, but and the interesting thing about this is it sounds to me like they still didn't do that.
Yeah, it's not a buyout. It's just like it's a partnership.
Yeah, Sony apparently helped finance their. I guess they called it the Series H run of updates that they did.
Huh. Okay.
And apparently that's something that that's been happening, which is interesting to me because I saw someone looked this up. It was actually one of the former RKG people that looked this up that found out that the Series H run was actually back in December.
Oh, wow.
So if Sony was you know, a part of that, which the blog post indicates that they were helping to finance Discord ever since December of 2020.
And this was in the supposed Microsoft
talks. The talks were happening, yeah.
What the heck? That's weird.
Yeah, but there you go.
That's really weird.
Huh. Yeah, but Discord has made the decision. Man, they're going to...
If this means accessible Discord on, like, PS5, like, yes, please. I'll take that. That would be awesome.
So the thing about Discord is I do think they care about accessibility. Like, they occasionally make
it took them a long time.
It did. Guys. And they still occasionally make some stumbles, but I do think they care about it. So I actually think that when Discord's features are available on PS5, I think they will be accessible. I think they will be.
Man, that would actually be super awesome.
Yeah, it would.
I use Discord almost exclusively now, as far as like talking to people and like I talked to a few people on Twitter, but like Discord now is kind of my primary like communication, you know, thing. So
yeah, Twitter's still kind of mine, but Discord's definitely my secondary now. I'm still more easily reachable on Twitter because I don't have notifications configured correctly on Discord. So I like what I would want to do is get notified when I get mentioned and when I get a direct message. But currently I just have no notifications whatsoever.
What I do is just kind of mute most servers that I'm on, except for like a couple. And then, cause you can mute. What really needs to happen, Discord?
If you're listening.
Talking to you directly. I wish, I don't know, I don't understand why this is still not a thing. There needs to be different sound notifications, like audio notifications for direct messages and mentions. And it's all the same sound. Yeah. And that sound is super quiet.
Yep, it is.
Very, very easy. It's super quiet and it's super short and it's really easy to miss.
And if you're on enough Discord servers, it overlaps like crazy. Like yep. if Discord happens to be blowing up at the time,
that's why I tend to use busy servers because I want to tell when people are actually talking to me and not just talking about cat pictures.
Right. And right. I get you. Yep.
So I tend to unmute servers when I'm talking in them. And then when I'm done with them, I'll mute them again because
yeah, I need to teach myself how to do that because I don't currently know how to mute a server.
It's super easy. All you do is when you're like on the server, you just hit your applications key and you can go to mute server. And...
Wait, what? Applications key works? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it works now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's super easy then.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I will definitely do that. And then I will re-enable notifications for Discord.
Yep.
Sweet. All right. So look forward to, according to, I guess, PlayStation, although this wasn't specifically mentioned in the blog post, but again, this comes from the other person I talked to from former RKG. They said that apparently PlayStation feature or Discord features are expected on PlayStation by 2022, cool. Early 2022. So well, there you go.
Nice.
Next up, it's Sturlock's turn.
Yee.
To talk about a thing that he brought up to me a couple days ago, and I think I was super I was like super like scared at first, but Sturlock made sure that I had no reason to fear. Sturlock, tell the world about the Evercade, my friend.
Yes, so I it's still in, I don't think it's even been shipped yet. Ugh. But
dang it.
I know, I'm kind of annoyed about that, but given how much I paid for it. But, yes, the Evercade, I heard about this thing, like, last year, and I kind of ignored it, and I was like, eh, okay, I mean, that seems kind of neat, but what really sparked my interest is a person on Audio Games, Conchero the Trinity, who's written a couple other articles, wrote an article on the Evercade, using the Evercade as a blind person. And they went into a really in-depth explanation of, like, what's in the package and how to use it and things like that. And it really kind of sold me on this whole thing. And I went down the Evercade rabbit hole and looked at all the games that were available and bought one.
Yeah, man.
And I bought the premium package, which comes... Oh, yeah, so I didn't explain what this thing actually is. So basically, what the Evercade is, it's a modern, retro, portable gaming console that goes back to the old school portable gaming roots and uses cartridges.
Yeah.
Freaking cartridges, man. And the cool thing about this thing is it's not just a one game per cartridge thing. This is collections of games on each cartridge. And each cartridge is based on a particular developer or publisher.
Yeah.
And there's usually from like 6 to 20 games on each cartridge. Some,
I think one said 28, didn't it?
Maybe I'm wrong. I think 20 is usually the max.
Oh, okay. That's still cool.
There's like one or two that only have like two or three, but they're just a flat, you know, $20 a piece, so they're very reasonable and cheap. And you've got, so my unit that I got, it's the premium pack, comes with the Atari Collection 1, which is a bunch of old Atari 2600 and 7800 games, which is nice. Kind of neat. I don't really have a lot of experience with that era in gaming, but...
Might as well mess around with it, though.
Might as well mess around with it.
Why not? Well,
plus, the cool thing about the Evercade, each game... You know, you have got a bunch of save state slots.
Aha. So
you can mess around with that, and it's really easy to do. And the menus have sounds and feedback, and so. So it comes with that. It comes with the Data East collection, which has a few playable games on it, and. Hey, even with some of the non-playable games,
save states, man.
Yeah, you got save states to mess around with.
Yeah,
and the what's the other thing that comes on it? Interplay, the Interplay collection, which has like Earthworm Jim,
nice,
and the original Clay Fighter.
Oh, cool!
Yeah,
that's awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
Heck yeah, man, Clay Fighter. And then I originally was just going to get that, and then Amazon suggested, you know how like sometimes they'll suggest items to add to your bundle?
Customers who bought this also bought.
Yeah. So it actually suggested to me the Technos collection, which has like a bunch of Double Dragon games on it.
Nice.
And River City Ransom. And the Pico Interactive collection, Volume 1, which also has a few... really cool playable beat 'em up type games on it. So I was like, okay, because I looked ahead of time at the, all like what the games were and what the what were on them, and I was like, oh yeah, I know there are playable games on both of those, so I'll get those too. So, yep, I am currently awaiting those to be shipped, and I've been watching a ton of Evercade related videos. I'm obsessed with this thing right now.
Nice.
Even though I know there are some games that really won't have any playable games on them, the collector in me is just like, I want to.
I get it.
I want to collect everything for this thing.
Yeah, I totally get
regardless of if there are playable things on it or not, I'll just save those for like, you know, the end kind of, you know, like the Worms collection is definitely going to be like the one of the last things I get because we can't really play any of the Worms games.
Right. Like, but game preservation.
I want to own every cartridge for this thing.
Yeah. I get it. I totally get it.
Also, they're apparently coming out with the Evercade VS, which is a home console based version of the Evercade. So there's that too. I mean, you can hook the portable version up to TV as well because it has HDMI.
Okay, I was going to ask about that. Yeah. Okay.
But the one of the main purposes for the VS also is it will allow for multiplayer, which the basic Evercade has no multiplayer support.
Okay. So okay.
That's one of the downsides about it. But this thing's really neat. I'm super, super excited to get this thing. I kind of want to do. It won't be video, but I kind of want to do an audio unboxing of this thing.
Yeah, totally. That'd be awesome.
I can't wait for this thing. So it'll should be here next week. Kind of wish it was here when I was going on my trip this weekend, my parents' place. It'd be fun to mess around with them, but unfortunately,
yeah,
it won't be here. But
dang it, Amazon!
Dang it, Amazon. It's more the Amazon seller. It's from a third party seller. So.
Well, that explains
it. It's on them. Yeah.
It's on them.
That's all good. What I'm super interested in is like, what do these cartridges feel like? Like, what do they look like?
I know.
Are
you going to get that classic, like,
are they like
bulky Nintendo-y thing?
I almost want them to be.
So do I.
More Game Boy style cartridge. You know what I mean?
A Game Boy style cartridge. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What were you expecting?
I was just like, just go all the way with the retro feel. Go for like a big, big SNES cartridge type
thing. Oh yeah.
Well, stick it out of the back of your mobile thing.
It won't be that because like they're saying like the cartridge port's like an inch, so the carts won't be huge. Oh, but,
okay.
Like,
okay.
I hope they're not cards. I hope they're actually like cartridges, not like the cards, like the DS and the.
If it's like an inch, I imagine it really will probably be like a Game Boy cart. Probably. Yeah,
I hope
so. That sounds about right.
I kind of want that because like that, like, and I think that's kind of what they're marketing towards. Like that, you know, they're marketing to people like us that remember, you know,
all of the things.
Just, you know, this ticks so many cool boxes for me.
It does. Yeah.
It ticks like the collector in me. It ticks like the retro game enthusiast, the game preservationist, you know, like this is like just, and like pretty much universally people really like this thing. This isn't like one of those crappy at games, you know, Genesis consoles that have shitty sound and they're terrible and the emulation is bad. Like I've seen videos of like gameplay on this thing and it's perfect. Like the emulation is basically perfect.
So this was made with a lot of love
and care and everything. Oh, that's the other thing too. You were kind of worried.
Yeah,
when I told you about this thing.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
So when Sirlock first brought this to my attention, my first reaction was, but wait, Sirlock, aren't these things kind of illegal because they have games that don't belong to them in them. And Sir Loco's like, no.
Nah, bruh.
Nah, bruh.
No, so the beautiful thing that makes this awesome is that these are all licensed products. Like, they actually went out of their way to license things on the Evercade.
Yep.
With developers and publishers. So, you know, by buying these, you're supporting publishers and developers. Like, yeah. That's super cool. Like,
it's really cool. It's really cool. Because you hear a lot about the knockoff consoles.
Yeah.
And how totally, totally illegal they are.
Not only that, but they're just, like, from a blind person's perspective, they'd be almost impossible to use because their menus are silent and, like, there's just no way to... And there would be no way to find the things you want to find. Yeah,
because the knockoff ones, the illegal ones, typically have, like, hundreds of games on them at a time.
Yeah.
So, thousands. It'd be nuts.
Yeah, so... this is really just kind of the best of all worlds. Like, this is... It just... I felt there was almost no hesitation. Like, when I read that article, I was like, I kind of you know what? I'm going to get one.
Yep. Yeah, me and Misty have a Retron, which also has a place in the world. I really like our Retron. Yeah. Retron, to clarify the difference for the listeners out there, the Retron devices don't do like the kind of ROM style thing that the Evercade is doing. They actually use the cartridges for the systems that you already, you know, you had or you have.
Yep.
And they even have controller ports for, you know, like Sega Genesis and regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, all of it. Yep. And Retron's cool. It works really well too.
Yeah.
I know that Misty eventually wants to stream some Retron stuff because we have, you know, she has a whole collection of like old Genesis games and Nintendo games that she wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man.
So currently the systems that it supports right now are the NES, the SNES, and the Sega Genesis / Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And apparently some 32-bit.
Ooh.
Systems are coming in future carts, and there's also a rumor that arcade games are coming.
Whoa!
Which kind of makes me really excited. Like, yeah. What are they gonna do for these? Like,
Killer Instinct?
Probably not. My first time, but that would be amazing.
No, probably not, because Rare still definitely owns Killer Instinct, and definitely probably would not want to license that out to anyone but Xbox right now.
Nope,
because you already have the arcade port of Killer Instinct Classic on
the Xbox. But the really cool thing too about some of the games that are already out on the Evercade is you have a few cases of Japanese exclusive games.
Oh wow!
Being released on these, and
nice.
So, yeah, I'm so excited for this thing. I can't wait to play it and.
That just doubles the neatness factor.
Yeah, it really does. Like,
yeah, it's really cool.
I am so excited for this thing.
Well, here's hoping. In fact, Sherlock, you're going to have to give the podcast an update once you have it in your hands. We're going to talk about it again.
I definitely will give an update.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And it has the startup sound and everything. Okay. And it's
Here I was trying to segue. It has a startup sound too. Okay, that's good. That's really cool.
I can't wait.
No, it's really cool. It's absolutely really cool. I look forward to hearing your impressions of it when you have it.
Definitely.
Speaking of updates, I have an update for you, listeners. And this is one of those updates that just makes you shudder if you're a blind person. Oh. It makes you shudder.
I saw this.
Okay, so you know how Sirlock and I both were speculating last time about the, you know, the Last of Us 1 remake that is apparently definitely a thing, even though Naughty Dog has said not word one about it.
I'd probably save it for E3.
It probably. Well, actually, Sony's not going to be at E3, which is a thing.
Huh. Okay.
But they'll probably do a State of Play around then.
Yeah.
So, because that's the format they seem to prefer these years. Mm-hmm. They haven't been in E3 for the last 3 years. So you know it's
yeah, that's true. I like to say to play. So
yeah, I'm fine with it. So Last of Us 1 remake. It exists. Everyone knows it. It's out there. And we were speculating on whether or not maybe, just maybe, hopefully they'll add the accessibility for The Last of Us 2 to the remake. Well, there is new information, and this is in gaming news, by the way, not accessibility news, because it doesn't just apply to this. So there's new information out now from Game Reactor, a report from Game Reactor, someone who is apparently, you know, knows stuff about this from Game Reactor or has seen it or something, I don't know, has made a point that fans who are waiting for this remake now, because now the information is out there, now that Jason Schreier has broken the news, should not just expect a texture upscale like The Last of Us Remastered. That's essentially what that was. It was a port. Yeah. It was better textures. It was 60 frames per second.
That wouldn't really make sense for what.
Yeah, that wouldn't sell.
Because that already exists and already you can already play it on PS5.
Exactly. Would not sell. This person said, no, don't just expect that, because the kennel, referring to Naughty Dog, is taking full advantage of the PlayStation 5's power and utilizing some things from The Last of Us 2 engine. So, ladies and gentlemen, basically, basically, the remake apparently is going to be The Last of Us 2 engine now, which essentially means there's no reason why not.
Yeah.
There's no reason why not at this point.
Oh, dude. Now, if I haven't returned to streaming by the time this comes out, you better believe I'm streaming the fuck out of this game.
You'll be streaming so fast.
Oh my god, dude.
Yeah, we may get the entire Last of Us franchise.
Oh my god.
Not to mention, we know for a fact the TV series is going to be audio described.
Yep. Oh, dude.
Now, to be completely transparent here, though, the Game Reactor thing does not mention accessibility. But the fact that it says some things from The Last of Us 2 engine makes me think accessibility.
I don't want to say it's a guarantee, but that's kind of where my mind's going with that, because it's Naughty Dog and they're working directly. And I think it's going to happen at this point.
It makes me think what we'll see is accessibility, and we may see, because this, I will admit, this would require a redesign of some levels, so I don't know if this is true. But if this is a real remake and they're using The Last of Us 2 engine, we may see Joel going prone.
I'd be okay with that.
But again, that would require some redesigns, because if you design levels around the ability, you know, not having that ability, and then you have to, you know, allow for it.
Yeah.
Definitely that would require a little bit more than a textural touch-up. You know?
Stuff like that is probably why this is taking a lot longer than, you know, just a touch-up. You know?
Well, especially if they're adding accessibility, considering what we now know, what has now been publicly revealed about how much work was done to make that happen.
Yep. Oh, yeah, because they have to add in all the
manual markups, man. Oh, manual God. Markups. Now, Last of Us 1 is a shorter game, so there will be less of them, but not a whole lot less.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of collectibles and stuff.
Yes.
Now, this does beg the question, if they do a full remake, will it include multiplayer? And will they touch multiplayer with accessibility?
I mean, I would be thrilled if they did, but I wouldn't be terribly sad.
Right. I'm with you there.
I would be okay if they didn't, because...
I would too. Multiplayer...
Single player is what you come for.
I 100% will always admit that multiplayer is going to be hard.
Yeah.
When we finally tackle multiplayer... trying to get the blind to play with the sighted, and we will tackle it. Don't get me wrong. I'm too much of it. I have too much ambition to leave it alone.
Yeah.
But when we finally tackle it, it's going to be freaking tough.
I mean, Ray and I are still looking for stuff we can play together. And we've, I mean, we kind of found our silly little, you know, workarounds and playing.
Oh, sure. But that's awesome, though. That's
but we would love nothing better than like a multiplayer game that we could play together.
Yeah. All you want to do is kill each other. God. Is that too much to ask?
Well, we more want a co-op, but...
I know. Just messing with you. It's all good. All right.
Man. Yes, please. Accessibility.
So, accessibility. The chance now is higher than not zero.
Yep. I'd say they're pretty good at this point.
I think it's pretty good. If you're putting the remake in the Last of Us 2 engine, then why not?
Yeah,
dude.
Ah,
okay.
I would be more surprised at this point if it didn't.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would be too. Like, but the reason I bring this up in not in accessibility news is because this isn't specifically accessibility news, because they could also bring some other stuff over from that engine.
Yeah,
I just think that
it will.
Yeah. I just think it's highly likely that accessibility will come with. So there you go. The potential is there. It might happen.
I can't wait.
Indeed.
Can't wait.
Okay. Now for the thing I didn't write down. I have a bit of an announcement.
Ooh.
It's not accessibility related specifically, but so I'll announce it here. That announcement is thus. I have come into possession of an Xbox Series X.
Really?
I did not expect this to happen.
What? Yet again, surprise console.
Hi!
This is not the first time.
This is your surprise console. So it's a thing. And I am going to be doing a console review of the Series X. I know I'm late to the party here. I know, I get it. But I believe there are enough people in this world that value my opinion.
Yeah.
That I will still do a console review of the
Series X. People still ask you, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. People do still ask me. Like, what do you think of the Series X? I don't know. So, yeah, I will do a console review. And, yeah, there you go. That's the thing.
Cool.
Yeah, that actually happened today.
Wow.
So, that's why I didn't write it down.
Did you know you were getting it?
Nope.
It just showed up, and you're just like, oh, okay. Well, I guess this is a thing.
Yeah. Kinda, yeah.
Wow.
Like, oh, I guess I have a Series X now.
Wow. All right.
So expect more about that to be coming soon.
Cool. Okay.
neat. So yeah, this is my life now. all right. So we're finally done with the first segment of the show. Unless, Sterlock, do you have anything that's a surprise?
And it kind of falls under accessibility, but I'll mention it here.
Sure.
Ray and I are doing at 7:30 Central, so 8:30 Eastern tonight. Our second Let's Go stream.
Oh, nice! Tonight.
Tonight.
It goes down tonight.
Tonight.
All right.
Yep. Cool. So. Cool.
Yeah, the first one was really cool. I know I wasn't there for the whole thing.
You had stuff you were doing.
That was the day when stuff went down.
Yeah, you were dealing with stuff, so it's all good. Yep.
But yeah. Anyway, that's awesome. I will try to be there for at least part of that too.
Cool. Tonight, so. Definitely.
There you go. All right then. Well then, with that, folks, we're going to move on to the second, but perhaps equally as packed segment of the show, known as.
Accessibility news.
Welcome to
Accessibility news.
Alrighty then. In this edition of Accessibility News, a lot of stuff.
It's like literally half and half. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start. I love the way I wrote this in the outline. It's full of exclamation points. I wrote Ratchet and Clank.
Yes.
So we have a little bit of an update on Ratchet and Clank, guys. And that is that some wonderful, wonderful people, and I actually give a lot of credit to Can I Play That for coming up with this, because I actually requested it on Twitter, and then it turned out they already did it. I guess I'll give the context in case people missed last week's show. There was a state of play showing Ratchet and Clank gameplay last week. At the end of that state of play, they did something amazing, and they announced that Ratchet and Clank will have a, quote, slew of accessibility features, end quote. During the couple of seconds in which they were saying those words, they actually showed some of the accessibility menu on screen.
Yep.
It was only a couple seconds, and apparently it was not the whole thing, but they showed a couple seconds of it, and some amazing people took that couple seconds of video and captured it as freeze frames so they could more accurately see the accessibility features on display in that video. Again, apparently that's not the whole menu, but it is still quite telling.
Yeah.
It is still quite, I think
there's
it's quite
lot,
telling.
There's a lot there for, and it's not even the whole thing. Just like, whoa, okay, yeah. Cool.
So we have the same kind of color settings and high contrast settings and those things, color blindness settings from like Miles Morales are exist already. That's been confirmed. And we also have some very interesting settings that may be for the totally blind indeed. Mm-hmm. So not only do we have things like aim assist, which is great. I mean,
that's good for everybody. Honestly.
It's good for everyone. Yep. So we have that. We also have a setting that, I don't know, Sterlock, it's mysterious, but it seems to have the same name as a feature that exists in The Last of Us Part 2. Mm-hmm. And that would be Ledge Guard. Mm-hmm. Ledge Guard is in Ratchet and Clank. Literally the same name.
Yep.
Ripped right from the feature set of The Last of Us 2. If you didn't believe before that people were already deriving from the last
I was just about to say, somebody's looking at that list and going, okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, exactly. So yeah, Ratchet and Clank confirmed has Ledge Guard. They also have, so here's the weird one, but I fully believe that I understand this correctly. So the screen that we have so far shows that there is a visual waypoint upon button press that shows where you're supposed to go. I fully believe that's nav assist.
I think so.
I mean,
I feel like it would be.
You're only seeing a couple seconds of footage from the options menu, so you're not seeing it in action, but it shows, I guess, what the visual waypoint is, what it looks like. But keep in mind, The Last of Us also has a visual waypoint. The nav assist is represented visually on the screen as well.
Yep. Yep.
When you use it. So I fully believe that's nav assist. It doesn't say that directly, but I guess what it says is like, I don't know, waypoint on button press or something like that, but it's I think it's nav assist, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure
Spider-Man
it's probably left stick.
Yeah, Spider-Man had it, so why not this, you know?
Hopefully it works better than Spider-Man's too.
Hopefully it does. I would hope so, given the more time in development, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
There I are feel like a couple this, things... prob- this may have been designed from the onset, kind of like Last of Us with accessibility.
It might have been.
I hope.
We might be playing Ratchet and Clank. I said it last week, but it looks even more like it now.
Dude. Man.
There's a couple other things that were hinted at. Apparently there is something called Flight Assist, which that sounds great.
For the flying flying sections, yep.
Yep, that sounds great. I love that.
Good.
Love that. There is a grav boot auto pump feature. I don't know what that means,
but sure.
It sounds helpful.
Yes. Definitely.
And the thing that I like to bring up, because I have literally no clue what it is, but I like to bring, that's why I like to talk about it. Apparently, there's an accessibility feature called Swing Mode. I don't know what that is.
All right.
But sure.
Sure.
Like, all of it sounds like it's helpful. Because, like, what I keep thinking of is the things that we've seen in the Ratchet and Clank gameplay so far. Like, we've seen that you can ride on those creatures. What are they called? Speedles? Yeah, Speedles. Mm-hmm. You can ride on those, so I assume that the assistance is going to help with that, I would, based on that. I remember the grav boots from the Ratchet & Clank on PS4. I don't remember anything that I would consider a pump.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about.
What I remember is you move to a certain spot, and then you jump, and then the grav boots pull you to the next spot you're supposed to go to. So I don't know if that's like, the closest thing I can think of is maybe that's like traversal assistance, where it automatically lines you up properly with the next grav point.
Oh, that could be.
But I could be wrong. Like, I don't know. I don't know. This is new stuff. This is Ratchet and Clank, so I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But the point that,
you don't have long to wait.
No, we don't. It's June 11th that it comes out, and I guess the big point that we're making with this particular update is the fact that. It's funny that Ledgeguard is like the point of this, but the fact that Ledgeguard is used here,
yeah,
and is a feature really that we promising. Recognize, like,
yeah,
ripped directly from The Last of Us 2 is to me a very telling thing, and increases the chances that we'll be playing Ratchet and Clank.
Didn't they say that they were basically going to? I mean, they said without saying that they were going to pretty much reveal the full list.
Soon. They said soon. Yeah.
So,
yeah, they said soon.
My guess is like another week or two.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. In fact, that's what we were speculating before.
This is what we said last week. Yeah.
Yeah, we did say that last week, but thankfully those people took what we could get from the video. Because I didn't like that. Like, initially I didn't like it. Like, we didn't have any information because we couldn't see the video.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy with can I play that for taking that and really writing it down.
They kind of remind me of it's like the game explain of
accessibility
because they do the same thing that game explain does, where they'll take a trailer and analyze it and go through with a fine tooth comb.
Yeah,
and yeah, so I really like that.
Yeah, and they took a couple of frames and wrote as much of it down as they could see. So
I can't wait. That's awesome. I can't wait till we can see the whole menu and see what's all there.
I want to hear the word narration. I really.
Yeah.
I want it.
I have a feeling it's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a good feeling.
Now I do too. Like, you know, it just it means I don't know.
When I saw Ledgeguard. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can't explain that, but like, just knowing that that feature is there with the same name as it had in The Last of Us 2 says to me, hey. These guys were watching Last of Us 2, and these guys are like, let's make this thing work.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm here for it.
Same.
So I'm looking forward to hopefully the next couple weeks where we learn more about that. So let's hope.
Indeed.
Next up, OMG. All right. So there is an entrepreneuring human being who has expressed a desire.
This guy. This was out of nowhere, too. Like,
it was out of nowhere, yeah. This person has expressed a desire to mod the entire Kingdom Hearts series, which is now available on PC, for accessibility. The entire series.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. 1,000 times. Yes, please. Now, here is the thing to consider, though. This is something that we definitely want to happen. So if you're listening out there, encourage this.
Yeah.
There is a post on Reddit about it. I don't have the link, but it is there. It exists. Definitely encourage this. But also keep something in mind. This is early days. This is someone who wants to do it.
Work hasn't even begun.
Right.
It's just an idea at this point.
Yeah, I've spoken to them because I volunteered myself, because of course I did, because I want to help with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I've spoken to them, and I know for a fact that they don't have a dev yet. Like, they don't have someone actively working on this at all yet.
Yeah.
That's where they are right now. They're trying to find someone who's willing to work to the coding side of it. So this is not something that's guaranteed happening, but it's something that is out there in the universe now, and someone is willing to oversee the project. So definitely encourage this.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts accessibility would be amazing. I would love to be able to play every game in that series. It's going to take some work, but there are already ideas, you know, flying around. So you never know. You never know what might happen.
Oh, if it happens, that would be amazing. Kingdom Hearts is so good. I love the series. It's
You know what's weird? When those games came out on PC, I didn't even think about it. Like, I didn't think about the modding idea. I was like,
didn't even register. Just like,
I was like, oh, they're on PC now. Cool. Yeah. I guess, but because I just mentally just associate them with consoles, and it's like I kind of just left it alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is modding potential now. They're on PC, so let's do it, guys. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
This is the Breakdown Walls podcast's way of putting it out further into the universe. Like, let's make this happen.
Yes.
It'd be great. All right. Next up in accessibility news is my rundown. Sorry, go ahead.
The message in a bottle, as it were.
The message in a bottle, yes. next up is my rundown of Returnal, the exclusive Sony PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 game that just came out.
It's a thing now.
So when I do my review of the Xbox Series X, do I have to say, this is not a PlayStation 5?
Exactly.
So Returnal is a game, and it's getting a lot of praise right now. It seems like it's a very good game. People are generally loving it. In terms of accessibility, though, it doesn't have a whole lot.
Nope.
Housemarque is not adopting the Insomniac approach when it comes to accessibility.
Yeah.
Here, though, believe it or not, I think I actually have a justification for this. And this might be, I don't know, it might be hard to swallow for some people, because Housemarque is a Sony studio, and you know, maybe they should have tried a little harder with accessibility. But here's my thoughts on this. Up until Returnal, Housemarque has only developed small games.
Right.
Housemarque is responsible for Resogun, which was
This is their first AAA game.
Yeah, Housemarque is responsible for Resogun, which is a launch title for PS4, and it was just a small game where you shot robots and stuff. You know, and that was basically it. You know, there are many levels to it, but you know, you basically just shot robots and you got more powerful and you shot more robots. That's the kind of stuff they were known for before Returnal. This is their first big effort, first big AAA experience.
Yep.
So because of that, I can forgive them the not being Insomniac.
Yeah.
Because Insomniac, like Naughty Dog, has been doing this for decades, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing. So but you know, if we put that aside, down to the nitty-gritty here, the game's not very accessible for blind people at all.
Nope, unfortunately.
The haptic feedback, though, deserves special mention, because good lord.
It's insane.
There is haptic feedback for the raindrops. The raindrops.
Friggin' raindrops.
I confirmed this. Every raindrop, and it actually like appears to, you know, feels like it's raining all over your controller. Like, you know how you can, you know, they can make it positional.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that all over your controller while it's raining.
That's cool.
It's freaking cool. Even the opening cutscene with like the rumbling of the engines, which are done in like the correct frequency based on what you're hearing. Like,
yeah.
You know how in I guess I've kind of brought this up before with the potential for the DualSense, but you hear a sound and the controller vibration you feel in older games is not the same frequency as the sound you're hearing. It's just a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helpful, but it's not the same. This, it is the same. Like, you hear it, but you also feel it.
You know what I noticed that too in is especially Bugsnax with the thunder.
Yeah,
you really can tell that in Bugsnax with the thunder. Like, yeah, it's just like it's hard to describe, but
yeah, you feel it the same way you hear it, and it's part of the immersion. It really adds to a lot.
If you put your ear to the, I don't know if you ever tried this, but if you put your ear to the controller,
I have not tried this.
It sounds the same too. It's freaky.
It does?
Yes, it's weird.
How do they do that?
I don't know. But it's totally a thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Try it sometime. It's weird.
Okay. Sure. Maybe I'll start a new game of Returnal just to hear that opening cutscene through my ear controller.
Well, yeah, I did because I was curious. I was just like, this feels how it sounds. And so I was like, okay, wait.
What would happen if? Dang, dude, that's nuts.
Well, people have made, I mean, it makes sense because people have made vibrational stuff like with like the Switch Pro or the Joy-Cons and the Switch Pro, like with the HD Rumble.
Yeah.
People have made like music with those like vibrations and stuff. Like,
they have?
Oh, yeah. Dude. They've done like the Doom theme and stuff.
Oh,
like
I didn't know that.
Like,
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat.
That would be fun to feel.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yep. That's so neat.
Totally.
And that's, you know, it's been confirmed that the Switch stuff, the HD Rumble on the Switch, is the same technology as the PS5 is using, but it's like the next level, like the same company developed the technology.
Yeah.
It's just the next level of it on the DualSense.
Yep.
So yeah, but the HD Rumble, or now you got me doing it. The haptic feedback, because DualSense called it haptic feedback soon.
Yeah.
It's really good in Returnal. It's really good. You can feel everything. There's during the opening cutscene, there's a moment before everything goes wrong, where your character is just typing away at her console and you can feel her pressing the keys in perfect time with the sound again of the key presses. And also that her doing that is on the right side. Like you can, when you hear it, it's on the right. It's also on the right of your controller.
Yes.
So like, it's great. And when everything goes nuts on the ship before you crash, all that stuff is just fantastic. Like the increasing rumble as you're going down, like the shaking of the ship, it happens from the left to right, to left to right, to left to right, really fast. And it's just really cool. And the actual impact, I'm not even kidding, is impactful. It pushed the controller back into my hand, like backwards.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
It's nuts. They really cranked it up for that game.
Yeah.
So they did a great job with that stuff. Returnal does have aim assist. And it does... to some extent work. I'm pretty sure that I shot and killed at least two of the enemies that I was facing when I got to combat. But I don't think it works to the level of, say, The Last was aim assist or anything like that. Because there was one enemy that, to me, no one confirmed this for me, by the way. It's weird. No one cited in the chat actually confirmed what I was saying. But to me, it sounded like the last enemy I had to deal with was above me. And the aim assist did not account for that at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was told that the gun was pointed at the ground.
Huh.
So, what? Like,
weird.
Because a good aim assist, one like what we'll probably need in games like this, would need to be able to account for that and snap up to the enemy. Like, look, Last of Us 2 has sniping sequences, and the aim assist works perfectly.
Yeah, the aim assist is amazing. That's the best. I can't wait until that becomes the standard aim assist for games, because that thing is just, it's so good.
It's nuts. Not to mention the fact that we made it so you can make a choice when it comes to like headshots and like when you're throwing bricks, you can either throw them at your opponent or as the deterrent.
That's so good.
No other game does that.
Yet.
Yet. Right. Yeah. Maybe Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. But yeah, so it has an aim assist, and it seems to work sometimes, but as soon as things get on like different levels from between you and the enemy, I think that's when it falls apart.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's just nothing to say about it, really, in terms of total blindness. There is a scan button, which is R3 in Returnal, but they did not use it at all.
It doesn't do what we want it to do.
Yeah, they didn't utilize it at all for anything to help with the blind players.
Yeah, it's just a visual aid.
It only visually highlights things in the area that you can interact with, but for us, it does nothing. It doesn't turn the camera. The sound effect that plays is not positional. It just is the same sound effect every time. So it just doesn't help. And unfortunately, Returnal also has platforming.
Lots of platforming.
Which for blind people is just an invitation to die.
At the very beginning, no less.
At the very beginning. I got to, first. Yeah, I got into the room, the first room outside the ship. I left the ship. I did that.
And then,
yep. I guess it's funny. I brought this up in the video too. I was like, well, if there's one thing to say is that when you fall to your death, it actually doesn't kill you. Like one fall doesn't kill you for some reason. They gave it like a three fall system. Mm-hmm. So you fall to your death, you fall.
This bout is scheduled for 3 fall.
Right.
That's sorry.
So you fall, you take about 30% damage, and you're teleported back to the top of the ledge you fell from. And you can fall 2 more times, then you die. I guess they chose to do that because they didn't want you to feel super punished after a fall, because it is a roguelike.
Yeah.
So they don't want your run to end on a fall. It still can. Like, if you were hurt before, it'll still end on a fall. But where possible, they wanted to avoid it, so they made falling to your death not actually falling to your death unless you have less than 30% health.
Yep.
So that's a nice thing, but obviously it's not enough to help the blind.
Nope. Unfortunately.
No ledge guard, no nothing. I really like the sound design. The 3D audio was really good, by the way, too. I like that stuff. The music is really atmospheric and really awesome. I like the game. Like, the voice acting, too, is really good.
Is really good.
I really give credit to her because she's the only, as far as I know, she's the only voice in the game. But she really just lays it down. She really does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's not accessible at all. It's just not. So that's my Returnal rundown. I do have one more thing that I forgot to write down. This one I could have written down, but just forgot to do it. It has been confirmed that once again, I will be on the front page of Twitch.
Hey.
On Global Accessibility Awareness Day, May 20th. Ladies and gentlemen, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern.
Nice.
And we have already decided in amongst the Discordians, my Discord community, we've already decided what we're doing on that day. And it's a doozy, folks. We have chosen that day to be the start of the Last of Us 2 Grounded run.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Global Accessibility Awareness Day, where I'll be on the front freaking page. I am being an idiot and playing The Last of Us 2 on Grounded.
I mean, it makes sense.
What is wrong with me?
And it makes sense because it's, you know, it's kind of where what propelled you, you know, your accessibility career, you know.
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes sense. It 100%
it's makes fitting.
Sense. It 100% makes sense. But I can't like not laugh at myself.
Yeah,
like there's gonna be there's. I mean, it's gonna be awesome. Don't get me wrong. There's also gonna be rage. There's gonna be terrifying fear if like things get intense and I don't die, but I'm trying to run away or something.
Hey, you'll get to hear song. You'll get to hear song when you beat it, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I have intentionally not listened to that's that your one reward. On YouTube. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's my reward. Yeah. Yeah, no skipping credits that time.
Nope,
not that time. But I will beat it. I'm pretty determined. I'm gonna beat it.
I'm sure you will.
But yeah, 3 to 4 Eastern, I'll be on the front page. We will be doing a full stream. I'm not gonna just start at 3, because that'd be dumb. That'd be super dumb.
Silly. Yeah.
I'm gonna start at 1:30 like I usually do. It's gonna go until 5:30 like it usually does, just in case people stick around after. So it's going to be a full stream of the first episode of the Grounded run,
which people did last time. Quite a few people stuck around.
Yeah, quite a few. Really quite cool. A few did. A few hundred did, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely good to keep the stream going.
Yep.
I'm already making plans. I do not intend to be as unprepared as I was last time. I've already inquired as to people who would like to volunteer to be in the Discord and read chat should we be bombarded with viewers. Like we were last year?
Yep.
So that's already set in motion. And I'm going to have like Nightbot timer set up to say some stuff, kind of generalizations of things that day. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yep.
I think there a lot of people in my Discord community think that we will indeed get invaded like last year because it is The Last of Us 2 and people will see in the directory. People that are looking for people to raid in the directory for the Global Accessibility Awareness Day are going to see that I'm playing The Last of Us 2.
Yep.
And a lot of people that are, you know, involved in that community probably are aware of the impact on accessibility the last two had. So we very well may have a lot of people come in.
Nice.
So good. Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
Before that day, though, before May 20th, I will be doing a couple of things with my social media manager, Shay, though. I will be doing a Jackbox stream with her that I'll be hosting myself. And that's on the 18th. And then on the 19th, I will be jumping into her Streamiversary stream to play some games on that stream. So I will not be streaming that one myself. I won't be streaming that day. I'll be part of her stream because I don't want to like take any of the viewership from her.
Yeah.
I will just simply encourage everyone to go to her stream and I'll be there playing games. So yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be a fun week. Good week.
Indeed.
Oh, and I already have prepared my mods too. Like, hey mods, prepare yourselves.
Yep.
And Sherlock has readied the Banhammer of Justice.
Well, at first, it didn't dawn on me that, oh yeah, this is a thing that's happening.
I was cryptic at first. I did it on purpose.
Well, no, at first I thought, I was like, uh-oh. Because you're like, I figured you were going to get like backlash from
from
the stuff that was happening.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, true. Oh boy, okay, I'll just, you know, prepare. I thought that's what that was about.
Oh man, oh no, I should have clarified that then. No, that was just, you know, front page.
Yeah, no, I was all prepared to ban some fools.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you still might have to.
I mean, you still might have to, but yeah.
Because yep. Last of Us 2 has its haters too, so some of those may come in.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. But I think overall it's going to be a good day. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I have.
Oof.
It's all you have. Oh, by the way, level 1310.
Nice. I am not. I'm like 470.
I'll tell you this.
But I've been doing a lot of hunting.
Oh, I finally found value in hunting, by the way.
Mm.
When you reach hunting milestones, you get free arrow makers.
Yes. I'm like hunting level. It's probably past 150 now.
Dang, that's further than me. I'm like level 50 something.
I mean, I've let mine go overnight.
Oh, sure.
So, and I think you also get double hunting experience on double experience day.
You do. So. Oh, you definitely do.
So, yeah.
I meant to do that today while I was doing the podcast. And I totally forgot to do it.
You still have a couple hours left.
Dang it. All right. Anyway. Anyway, we're talking about Night Manager because, of course, we are.
So I've discovered things that actually can hurt you now. And
oh, yeah. In the hunting? Yeah, yeah. The knife wielders can, the axe
knife wielders can, and axe throwers,
and the king can too. I've learned that recently too.
I've never had the king attack me. That's interesting.
Yep, I've been attacked by the king.
Wow,
it did 300 damage.
Oh dang!
It was an ouchie.
I also noticed that it seems like you never use special skills on the king. It seems like it's always a regular
shot. I hope that's not true. There's got to be a chance.
At least in my experience, every time I've ever come across the king, it's always been a regular shot.
Yeah, same here, but why?
I think that's to prevent someone using deadly shot and ending the king like that's after true. Like that's, 5 minutes.
I guess that's fair, but why couldn't they just do like a equivalent to the Dark Tower bosses with the pierce immunity?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Which I actually don't mind that. I don't mind that either. And it only takes effect once you hit
200
in the tower. So
yep, it actually tells clear. You indirectly when it takes effect too.
It's very clear, something weird is going on.
It actually says black smoke pours from under the door.
Yeah,
and you only see that the first time that it happens that it's in effect. Yep. So it's interesting.
But I'm once again stuck on 480.
Yeah, same here. It's, by the way, it's not random. It's still Imbrico. Isn't that interesting?
It is still Imbrico. Yep. That is interesting.
I'm stuck in the same spot.
Yep.
Wah.
Wah.
I want to get further than that. I got it.
Your words are so good. I've gotten a ton of arrow skills and bonuses from all the servants I've killed.
Willingly sacrificed.
I mean, it's really morbid when you think about it.
It really is.
Sending thousands of people to their deaths.
Right. Here, turn all these people to arrow makers. Oh, by the way, the training is really rigorous and only like 40 of them are going to make it.
What? Yeah. I gave you 2,000 people.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the other 960 died.
Yeah. Oh well.
It's ridiculous.
I love how just cavalier the game is. Just like, no, all these people are dead. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, it's nonsense, but it's just the game. It's part of the game. It's nuts, but yeah, I used your idea from last week. They just hitting fight all the time.
Just saying fight, yeah.
And that's great for me.
Isn't it great?
Really like that.
Yeah.
Because then once I'm done, what I've been doing is using like whole stocks of 5,000 energy, and going through the whole stock, just hitting fight over and over again. And when it runs out, that's when I level up.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know approximately how much 5,000 energy will get you in terms of levels.
Nice.
And I actually had a thought about this a while back, but it turns out I was right. It's approximately 100 levels for 5,000 energy on double day.
That's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. It'd be 50 on a normal day, though.
Yeah.
Still not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Anywho, okay. I think that's all I have. I think that's all I have. It's been a packed show. I'm actually surprised because I'm looking at the time.
I thought it was going to be longer.
Well, I feel like the first segment was pretty long, but I'm looking at the time for this segment, and I'm actually surprised to say it's only 32 minutes.
Huh, there you go.
So there you go. All right. Well, let's get our outro on and get out of here for the week. In episode 1984 of the Big Brother Breakdown Wars Thought Police podcast. I wanted to use it twice. I can't help it. We hope, as always, you've enjoyed the show. We enjoy doing this every single week. This has been a great one. There's been some really big positives in this show, and a couple of negatives. But I think I ultimately feel good about the show. Like, there's a lot of positivity that happened this week too. So that is a good thing.
I just don't want my Evercade.
Yep. Sherlock wants the Evercade. I want more information about Ratchet and Clank. Immediately, please.
Only a month.
There is also a rumor. I forgot to mention this during the show, but there's also a rumor that we're going to get a Mortal Kombat announcement next Monday.
Really?
Yeah, so apparently about a month ago, I guess the Mortal Kombat Twitter, or maybe it was Ed Boon, I don't know exactly which one for sure, but someone posted... someone Mortal Kombat related, NetherRealm related, posted a tweet that just said 22 days.
Huh.
And apparently that lines up with next Monday.
All right.
So, Mortal Monday?
Mortal guessing. Kombat? I'm guessing either this mysterious Marvel thing that is rumored to be a thing, or...
Combat Pack 3, maybe.
Combat Pack 3 or an Injustice 3, who knows? It could be anything.
Either way, if there is an announcement of any kind, it'll probably be a pretty big week for us next week, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's something from NetherRealm, but I think it's going to be good, regardless of what it is.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah. Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, same here. So anyway, guys, thanks again for listening. Feel free to give us feedback, give us comments, questions, tell us what you want us to talk about. We love to talk about things that you want to hear about, so let us know, y'all.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to tell us we're wrong about stuff too, because we definitely do corrections. I've done plenty of them on the show already.
Yep.
Thanks to some kind listeners who have been kind enough to correct us without making us feel terrible about it.
Indeed.
So that's gonna do it for this show. I'm Brandon Cole. He is Sterlock, and we will see you guys next week.
Echo.